The Bible played a key role in helping to create the United States of America. Andrew Jackson called the Bible the book on which our republic rests. It's interesting to note that some archaeological findings in Israel generally help to confirm the Bible. Dr. Titus Kennedy is the author of a new book entitled Archaeology and the People of the Bible, exploring evidence for the historical existence of Bible characters. According to Titus, quote, "A picture emerges from new discoveries and past data that the Bible is not an ancient mythological book set in real places filled with fictional characters, but an historically accurate source recording the lives and details of real people whose existence continues to be verified by archaeology." I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Dr. Titus Kennedy, again, author of this new book called Archaeology and the People of the Bible, joins us. And Dr. Titus Kennedy, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Sure, absolutely. By the way, the ultimate founder of this radio station was known as Dr. Kennedy. That was D. James Kennedy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him and so forth, but this is exciting to me to talk to you. I've been at the Discovery Center and interviewed some of the people throughout the years. But your book now deals with 134 people in the Bible. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. So I have 124 entries, separate entries, but as you said, 134 people are addressed. There are a few that I placed in entries that relate to them where we have some more maybe tenuous evidence, but I wanted to mention the possibility of that. So I think when people are contemplating the historical accuracy of the Bible and they're thinking about, you know, are these people that they talk about, were they real? Do they exist? Do we have evidence that they exist? And they might be familiar with a few and they might think, okay, yeah, there's probably like 5 or 10 people of the most famous ones in the Bible, some of those big kings that we have archaeological evidence for. But I think most people would be shocked to know that we have at this point over 130 people named in the Bible who are verified by archaeological and historical evidence. I mean, I myself, being a person in this field, was surprised at the end number, so to speak, there. I think when you look at earlier lists, you look at older books where they talk about this subject, people of the Bible, you might have something like 40 or 60 or maybe even 70 from some more recent ones. But when we go through everything that's available today, everything that's been discovered, we've got now over 130 people verified.
That's really amazing. By the way, just the other day, I was talking about in Sunday school, I was talking about the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and so forth. And someone came up to me afterwards and said, oh, you know what? They found he was describing something which was an ossuary, a bone box. And he said, and it has got, you know, James's name on it. And this is James, the brother of our Lord and so forth. And I said, well, I heard that the guy that unveiled that to the world apparently got in trouble with authorities in modern Israel, that maybe he was trying to pawn off something that was not genuine. But I said, I'm not sure what the final story was on that particular one. Are you familiar with that? The ossuary of James?
Okay. Yeah, that's one of my favorite.
Is it true or is it false?
It's true. It's authentic. So what happened is that this was not excavated in a archaeological excavation. It didn't come from sanctioned excavations. Didn't have what we would call provenance. So at some point, probably it looks like in the mid late 70s, it was looted from a tomb in the Jerusalem area, and then it ended up getting sold, and it finally made its way to this collection of this antiquities dealer, and he had it for a long time, and then he made some other scholars aware of it, and they ended up putting this display of it in 2002 in Toronto. It was kind of the first public unveiling. But the Israel Antiquities Authority then was looking into it, and they said, hey, this was not from a official archaeological excavation. And they had a team of people who then said, we think this is a forgery. And they looked at it and they gave some reasons for it. And it went to trial. It was actually part of a lot of other artifacts that were part of this antiquities trial, forgery trial. And so all these different experts, it went on for 10 years, all sorts of experts in various fields. They examined this ossuary, this James ossuary, as well as other artifacts, the geologists and epigraphers and chemists and so forth. And they could not come up with evidence that it was actually forgery. It was showing the opposite, that this thing was a legitimate stone burial box from the Jerusalem area that had been in a tomb for centuries. And this was an ancient inscription. The whole inscription, it says, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. And so I would say, yeah, this is one of the great artifacts that attests to the existence of Jesus in the first century, and actually also, his brother James and Joseph as well.
This is fantastic. So the fellow was vindicated then. Let me read what has been provided for me as a description of you and your background, because I think this is really quite impressive. Dr. Titus Kennedy is a field archaeologist who's been involved in archaeological projects at 18 sites spanning 6 countries, including directing and supervising multiple projects from the Bronze Age through the Byzantine period, and he has conducted artifact research and photography at museums and collections around the world. He's a research fellow at the Discovery Institute, a university and seminary professor, a consultant, writer, and guide for history and archaeology documentaries and curricula, and he regularly publishes articles about biblical archaeology and history in academic journals and magazines. And what are we to make of all this? The gentleman doesn't sleep, it sounds like. No, that it's very quite impressive. And that includes, of course, a lot of archaeological studies on the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. That is my focus, is archaeology of the Bible. And so after my first excavations, which really I was being trained, and those happened in California, after that, basically everything that I've done archaeologically has been biblical sites and biblically related material.
Now, you say archaeological projects have uncovered new discoveries about the people in the Bible. What are some significant examples other than, let's say, James that we just talked about?
Well, another new one that, the James ossuary connects to Jesus. Another one that connects to Jesus, discovered in, archaeological terms relatively recently. So it was probably about 18 years ago now. But that is a cup that was found in the harbor of Alexandria that has the Greek inscription, "Through Christ the Magician," and seems to be the attestation of Jesus' title, Christ, in Egypt in the first century. And they thought of him performing miracles as some kind of great magician. And because they were very steeped in magic, they believed that they could harness his power. And we see other examples of that slightly later in antiquity, where they thought that they could just invoke the name of Jesus to cast out demons. And so they're thinking of Jesus as this powerful miracle worker magician. And in this case, they're attesting to his title in the first century.
Are there any examples of ancient churches? And by the way, I imagine since the Christian movement at first was so persecuted, initially by the temple authorities and then by the Roman Empire, it would be hard to, let's say, build a Christian building and say, this is a church. I mean, didn't they meet, in catacombs, basically among the graves, underground?
Yeah, they met in homes, they met in caves, catacombs, old ruined buildings, sometimes ancient temples like in ancient Egypt. Yeah, so the church building, so to speak, that didn't really come about until post 313 when Constantine, with the Edict of Milan, legalized Christianity. Then they started building official church buildings. So prior to that, you have other places that were used as a church building or a meeting place for worship. And so some of the really early ones you've got, for example, Peter's former house at Capernaum, that was then made into a house church. It was one of the earliest church buildings. You have that actually reconstructed, or I should say they built a church around the original house in the early Byzantine period. And you've got another example like that in Jerusalem, the upper room, where, of course, Jesus and the disciples had the Last Supper. But then we see in Acts that the early church is meeting there. Well, that eventually becomes its own official church building as well. So the Church of the Apostles on Mount Zion was right there. So we've got a lot of examples of that. There's an interesting cave in Israel where there's a inscription in Greek that says something like Jesus is present. And so they're thinking about Jesus is everywhere present, and they're meeting there, and there's this concept of Jesus is there with them when they're meeting. Then we've got a lot of other things like that. I mean, the Museum of the Bible has that now, I think, really famous display of that Megiddo church mosaic. That it was a house church. It wasn't a regular church building, because this was still the third century, still about 100 years almost before Christianity is legalized. So there are a lot of situations like that.
That's interesting. King David, I can't believe this. Did some people believe that he was just more of a mythical character, and yet he's so prominent in the Bible?
Yeah, that was the pervasive view in the 1980s and the early 1990s.
No way! That David was a myth?
Yeah, because at that point, we really didn't have any definitive archaeological evidence for him to point to.
Okay.
And so that was the reasoning. It was sort of the Bible is guilty until proven innocent by
archaeology. That's terrible. Okay, all right. And what happened with David?
That still goes today. So what happened with David is in 1993, excavating at the site of Tel Dan, north of the Sea of Galilee, they found fragments of a victory from the 9th century, placed there by the Arameans when they had defeated the northern kingdom of Israel. And then when the Israelites got the city back, they smashed it. And so it was just in pieces. And we don't have every single piece of the stele, but we have enough to see that it was this Aramean king, probably Hazael, mentioned in the Bible, who defeated both Israel and Judah. And he says that on the stele, and names those kings, and then he says that they are of the house of David. And so immediately people recognize the significance of this, and a lot of scholars changed their opinions overnight that, all right, I guess David was in fact a historical king. And since then, just more and more and more has been found to not only verify David's existence, but also the extent of his kingdom, that it really matched how the Bible records it.
Huh. Any evidence for John the Baptist as far as archaeological evidence? And by the way, we have actually about half a minute left.
Yeah, we do have evidence for John the Baptist. In fact, that whole narrative we find in the Gospels of his arrest by Herod Antipas and then his execution, spurred on by Herodias and requested by Salome, that's all recorded in the first century writings of Josephus. And of course, we've got ancient manuscripts of Josephus. So yeah, we have verification of John the Baptist and of his death.
Okay. And where can people get more information on this book? 10 seconds, please.
You can go to Amazon, and you can go to the publisher's website, Harvest House. You can also check out some of my other books and publications, videos on discovery.org.
Okay, Archaeology and the People of the Bible. Thank you very much, Dr. Titus Kennedy.